The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
The front page of the Irish Times says Army retires 20 million euro fleet of disastrous vehicles. These are South African-made light armoured vehicles, and it says that this is Conor Gallagher, the crime and security correspondent of the Irish Times, saying that they were seldom used after being bought. They are effectively the sort of the equivalent of a Humvee. They're a light tactical armoured vehicle, one step up from the kind of Jeep or Toyota Hilux style. And apparently the Irish Defence Forces coughed up 20 million quid on these things and then pretty much never used them. With us is Declan Power, who is security and defence analyst. Declan, the manufacturer of these vehicles is BAE Systems in South Africa. Now, BAE, of course, I assume, is the parent group and a very respected defence contractor. So what was so bad with these things?
Look, they just weren't the right fit for our needs, Anton. And this is a classic example of being penny wise and pound foolish. You know, Conor's story is spot on. It hits the nail on the head. As usual, he gets to the nub of it. You know, this isn't the first time that we've bought something because it was the cheapest thing on the go. And it turns out not to suit our needs and to be a waste. These vehicles were not up to scratch. They were sitting in camp in Lebanon, rather than being used on missions because they weren't reliable. They were tetchy and awkward with regards to spare parts replacements. And we really need to get wiser about this. I mean, look, South Africa, what were we going that far for? In terms of procurement, this country should be looking at purchasing stuff from France, UK, and the Nordics, and, you know, variations thereof, because these are countries that have extensive experience of producing quality military product that's suited to a military that operates in spheres like ours and that are our near neighbours and are right beside us. They're our partners. And so when there's a problem with them, or if there's an issue with them, we're right beside them. In addition to that, this is another example. Conor's story points out we are wholly inexperienced in procurement, because we haven't been doing much of it, and we haven't been getting good deals. I think that's starting to change. In fairness, I think that there's a better synergy between Department of Defence officials and Defence Forces people with regards to putting boards together for procurement. And you know, purchasing French goods there recently is a step in the right direction. But we need to be more pragmatic about these things. From a political point of view, it makes more sense. Like, you know, for example, there would have been a time where we would have been considering American equipment. And it pains me to say it, but the US are not a reliable partner anymore. God knows, you sign a contract with them now, God knows what may happen with that. So we need to focus on purchasing these high-end, expensive products from countries that we can rely on and that we have a close relationship with. And indeed, with the UK side of things, some of those products are produced on island in the north. And there's a whole political dividend if we're smart about this, if we look beyond it. And then there's another aspect to it too. I remember moderating an issue to do with defence purchasing a couple of years ago, and somebody made the point that the Canadians were far cleverer when they'd negotiate a deal to have spin-off things like spare parts being manufactured in Canada. Like, it created jobs for them. We weren't thinking about that at all. So this is what happens when you isolate yourself and you ignore defence.
Well, the only thing is that in Conor Gallagher's piece, he does say that the LTAVs were purchased. They're bought back in 2009. But that they were put up against products from Italian manufacturers and Swiss manufacturers, and that in tests done in the field in Ireland, they came out tops.
Yeah, I'd query that. You know, any of the feedback I've had from former colleagues wasn't good. And again, as I say, what made us go so far away? It's not the first time something like that has happened with purchase of equipment. That glowing reports, and then when it came to being used, just wasn't up to the mark. I mean, there have been some excellent examples too of stuff that did work, like the MOAGs, for example. I think, you know, I can remember I served in the Defence Forces when we had the CSUs, and they were a hugely important workhorse for the Defence Forces, particularly in Lebanon, and saved lives because the way they could absorb a blast from an IED. But then, why should we be surprised? The CSUs were produced by our Finnish allies, and the Finns certainly know what they're about, and they were only up the road when we needed to get advice or servicing from them. Look, what I'm saying here, Anton, is we're in different times now, and we need defence procurement has to be upgraded in terms of the quality of the process that we go through. It's not always going to, it shouldn't always be about just, you know, the cheapest thing, and we should be thinking in terms of who we purchase from, how near they are to us, how connected they are to us. I mean, look, it's Conor is talking about the actual the nuts and bolts of the purchasing, but his piece also kind of alludes to, in a little bit, to the politics of it as well. Defence is rapidly becoming an instrument of diplomacy and politics as well, and for small countries, and I think that's becoming apparent for us as well, in that how we mind our relationships can be addressed in who we purchase from.
In other words, if we're going to spend, as reported, €500 million on something, it'd be nice if it's with an EU counterpart, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. An EU counterpart, or indeed our UK neighbours, or a combination thereof. And indeed, I was writing a piece myself today in today's Independent, which was to do more with Trump's reaction, but I was making a point that, you know, the relation, these little smaller bespoke relationships are essential for small countries like ours to mind our interests and ourselves in these uncertain times. Like a good example being, there is an entity known as the Joint Expeditionary Force, which is, it's not a NATO entity, it's actually not an EU entity, it's a cluster of Baltic, Nordic nations, along with the Netherlands and UK, who have a joint maritime resource. We're not part of that. We should have a relationship with it, and we should be sharing knowledge, technology, with regards to protecting our above surface and subsurface assets. And at a time when we're heading into the presidency of the EU, who we collaborate with matters hugely, because we cannot manage the big security operations like that by ourselves. And we've been deluding ourselves for a long time, and the chickens are going to come home to roost now for the EU presidency. And geography matters. Neighbours, partners, friends matter, and collaboration and sharing of resources for a small country like ours. It's a no-brainer, and I wouldn't mind. We're signed up to PESCO, the Permanent Structured Cooperation concept within the European Union, which allows for us to be able to cluster together with other nations of a like mind. They don't, they're primarily European Union, but they can be third country nations who have a relationship with the European Union, like the UK now, for example, since it has signed last year it signed a new memorandum of understanding with the EU on matters to do with defence. So agility, mobility, and better bang for our buck. That's what we should be looking for here.
Declan, thank you. Declan Power, security and defence analyst.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.